disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
O life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
If you remember last time, I was teaching and started to open up in Gideon's army. Many were called, but few chosen. Gideon's army, many were called, but few chosen. That's what we are talking about. And I want to continue with this. And just briefly catching up last time, we looked at Joel's prophecy of chapter 2, particularly verses 21 to 32, of which it speaks about that God in the last days will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters, your old men will dream dreams, and God is no respecter of person. He will pour his spirit upon whoever who's hungry, who believes for him, who wants to walk with him and be filled with his spirit. And that is why he's calling from the highways and the byways in these last days. Anyone who would like to walk with God, you can. And not only that, but you can enter into the promises. Those promises that were given to Israel, which she forfeited through her rebellion and unbelief, God has now handed over the blessings to the church age, the spiritual Zion. And we can fulfill and finish what God had purposed to do in the saving of mankind. God always gives a vision, and we're told that without it, we will perish. In other words, we get lost. We fall into confusion, and therefore you cannot grow, you cannot bear fruit in such conditions. But Gideon's army, which is a type which we're going to look at in more detail today, shows where God, from the foundation of the world, will choose by his selection those who will go through, prepared, trained, for the last final conflict and battle. And I want to just stress this, that this is God's choice. The same as God chose 300 men, God has chosen a number who will go through to fulfill God's final plan and conflict with the powers of darkness, Satan himself. The only way we know that we are a part of this, by the way we respond, by the way that we act, by the way that we believe, by the way that we are prepared, whatever the cost, to allow God to work this in and through us. This is why I take great comfort over FGA. You've heard me say it before, but in the context of what I'm saying here, I'm going to say it again. This shouldn't work. It shouldn't work. And I was only reflecting on this morning as I was preparing and meditating over this. And I just said, Father, this is a miracle. Because this assembly that stood for all these years, coming together, a faithful remnant, living apart, we're all scattered around. It is not as though we're a local assembly, which you read very much was the in the early church, in the book of Acts and so on. There were these churches, these assemblies, they were local, autonomous, functioning, and yet they had fellowship as well with each other. Here we are, we find ourselves individually scattered around, and yet we're able each week, 2-3 times a week, to be able to come together, or come together through the internet or whatever means. And we know that the internet is a fairly new way of of coming together. But when I think back before the internet, we were still prepared to get in our cars and travel 2 and 3 hours sometimes, of which to get together for the day to have fellowship and get under the word. It happened. God took the initiative. God empowered this. God paved the way for this to happen. And indeed he still does. And we go through all the trials and the tests that we do, the purification, which is what this is all about. And sometimes we think, I cannot continue with this. I'm at the end of myself. It seems as though my world has caved in. And yet we find ourselves there on a Sunday in fellowship, listening to the word, because the power of the Spirit through the baptism of the Spirit works that on our behalf. And all he ever asks of us is a free will, the cross, the altar, Romans 12:1-2. And he will do it. He will do it. And indeed he is doing it. And this is why he's pouring out his Spirit now in the last days, or indeed he did back in the 20th century. And it was for a purpose, and it was for a reason.
Yes.
To prepare a body of people trained by the Holy Spirit for the final onslaught of the powers of darkness. That is the ultimate aim of what is happening. And God, in his mercy and grace, has not let us lose sight over the years of the purpose of the deeper life and what it's achieving and will achieve. We have seen many of our brothers and sisters who embraced this, who went all out with this, no longer have the vision, no longer see it, have gone back into just minimal Christianity. And I'm not knocking that, because that is right for many. That is why we do not criticize. We do not come against them, because if you see this, this is nothing but mercy and grace. You cannot force people into this. And I think at times in our zeal, years back, we tried to, and the Lord used it, but we gradually began to learn over the years that this is God's selection. Now, of course, I know that in preaching this, this is outwardly appears very divisive, very controversial, because it creates jealousy. It creates, well, who do you think you are? Do you think you are different from anyone else? No, we don't. Because one of our trainings that God is really labouring with us is that he's calling us to serve.
Mm. Thank you, Jesus.
We are the least. Yeah. We take the last place in the queue and let the others go first.
Mm.
We are willing to become doormats.
Thank you, Jesus.
Even though that doormat's got welcome on it. They don't appreciate that. That is the nature, heart and spirit that God is putting in to the sons of God who are maturing and growing in the womb of the woman who gives birth to this, Romans 12. Is it too late? It's never too late with God. And that is why we continue to preach it. And that is why this spiritual ark, this door, remains open until God finally closes it. And my assumption is that when he closes this, the church will be called away. The bride will be ready and called away.
Thank you, Jesus.
Until then, we're still being perfected and that door still remains open. So everyone still has a chance to come and to mature as a son and daughter of God. That is there. But those who have an ear will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So this is why God is taking us through the fires to burn out this spiritual dross, this dross of fear and anxiety, pride, traditions, dead works, strife, all these things that we when saved, still had with us, but God has to burn it out of us for a purpose that ultimately we become obedient to the commander. That we don't any longer question or argue. That we have been worked upon so we are ready to yield over to how the Holy Spirit shows and reveals to what he wants to do in and through the church in these last days. That's the ultimate work. That is the training that God's doing with you and I. We call it the potter. Yeah. The clay. Very interestingly, there's a program on television once a week, a series of potters. And each week they're set a task of various things they're to do. And it's interesting to watch this old lump of clay. You have to throw it onto the wheel, and then they get the water and they start there. And as they're working on it, it tends to go through a period. And I did this years ago. I couldn't get on with it very well. But as you've got to be careful that you don't overspin the wheel, because the whole thing can go flying off, or it starts going out of shape. And when it goes out of shape, you're sort of going like this with it, and you're trying to contain and bring it back under control. And you realise you've got to slow it down. It's going too fast, you see. And then you find sometimes you've got it up, and then you've got to push it back down again a bit, and then try to get the sides so that they're even. It's a work of art. Believe me. And I was looking at this, I thought, Lord, how this speaks of what you are doing with us as you watch these various potters as they were working. And some were quite skillful, others it took a while, but eventually the vessel was being produced. And of course it doesn't stop there. When it dries out, they take it off the wheel and then it has to be fired. It has to go under a massive high temperature and so forth. And that will then sort out if there's any blemishes that are in the clay. It will come out in the firing, in the kiln. And of course, if it's no good, it has to be smashed and thrown away. So what a wonderful analogy we get of the master potter, you, I, the clay, in the master's hands, moulding, perfecting. And then to make that vessel usable, it's got to be fired. It's got to go under great heat. And that is the test of a good potter. Yeah. You see? And that is the purification that God's doing with us. Because he knows that that lump of clay he has put on that wheel and the time he has spent working on that, it works every time. He is the master potter. He doesn't have to throw away that. He knows that what he puts on that wheel will be a vessel of honour for him. Hallelujah. We're told that there are vessels of dishonour. There are. But for the overcomers, the first fruits, God has every confidence in the process of that vase, that container that will be produced for his glory. Yeah. How do we know that? Because we know that the first fruits of the harvest will go first upon the altar to be received by our Heavenly Father. Yeah. And that is an indication of what is to come, to follow. See? Jesus is a first fruits. He has gone before. He was accepted upon the altar. He has now gone before to prepare the way for us, that we likewise will follow him. And then when we are called away as first fruits, we then prepare the church that will later come and follow. Can you see the connection, how it works? Isn't it amazing? God's mind working by the Spirit. Nobody can work that out in the flesh. But there we are. They were just some of the things that we looked at last time. Gideon, Judges. Let's turn to Judges, chapter 7. We all know this story. It's a very interesting book. 3 chapters. Packed with a lot of excitement. Interest. A very interesting book. Gideon. Does anybody know in the Hebrew what Gideon, the name, means? Interesting name. It means smiter. Smiter. It means to smite the enemy, to bring him down. And that is the spirit and heart that God is putting in you and I. Probably in nature, we're the last people who would ever want to join such an army. We're passive. I don't like trouble. I just want peace and harmony and, you know, let's just push it under the carpet or bury our heads in the sand, but let's just have some peace. That's not the spirit and nature that God's putting in you. Not at all. But most of us are like that. Just give me a break. You know? That's what we're like. But God isn't like that. He's not working that spiritually within us. As I've already said in the introduction, He's training and raising us for spiritual warfare in the last days. This is why I make so much of this, brothers and sisters. This is why God burns this in my heart. And He will not let it go. And I thank God He won't. Sometimes I find it difficult. Sometimes, you know, I say, Lord, they've had enough. You know, they've had enough of hearing this. Let's keep it calm and cool for a while. But God won't let me do that. He will not let me do that. Because it's your training. It's my training.
Amen.
And the point is, we are seeing the fruit of it. We are seeing by our faith, by our prayers, by our intercessions, by coming together, by proclaiming the name of Jesus against the powers of darkness, we are seeing we're putting the enemy to flight. We know it. We don't have to look at one another and say, well, is this true? You know, is he talking? Is this true? We know it's true by all the heads that are nodding away. We know. All of this speaks about our experience. This calling to Gideon's army speaks of our experience. It has our name and address on it. We identify with it. This is my history, this man's speaking about. This is my experience. And thank God for this, because this is the Holy Spirit who witnesses. We forget this sometimes. It's not just the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit who witnesses to His word, to your life, to your experiences. And He will continue to witness and work and work and work until it drops that 18 inches from your head to your heart. No other spirit or demon can ever do that. The only way they can work is to control you, to control your mind, your intellect, your emotions, your feelings. That's why it's cultish in nature. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The nature of how He works is actually to free you. The Spirit of the Lord is freedom, liberty.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is how He works. No other counterfeit demon spirit can do that, because they are not free. They are destined for hell. That is the difference. That is the difference. Well, Judges 7. Let's just look at some of this, shall we? Gideon the smiter. Then Jerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them, and by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. So you see the amount that there were. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. Notice who is doing this? God. Mm-hmm. Not Gideon. He is obeying what God is saying. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. But all the rest of the people who went down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. And so the people, they took their provisions, trumpets in their hands, and they go off and so forth. God selected that army. And I would just say briefly, I know most of you know this, but what was actually happening there was God's wisdom watching those who were alert to the enemy. So we immediately come back to battle, fighting. There was something about those 300 different to the rest. The rest of them come to the water, they're pretty thirsty, so they've got quite a thirst. You live in that part of the world, you know what it is to have a thirst. They lay face down, heads in, and take of the water, which means that the enemy could come along and slay them easily, because their heads were down, their heads were looking at the water, and they were taking of the water because they were more concerned about their bodily needs. They were thirsty, what I want. The others who were equally thirsty go on their knees and they clasp with their hands water up to their face, but they are still looking and they're still able to visibly see if the enemy is around. So they show wisdom. They show something different. They are partaking of the water. Now the water, as we know it, is the word, which washes, which cleanses. And you have some who take of the word, but take of it unwisely. And they're not really learning. Yes, it's the word of God. Yes, they may get excited about it. Yes, they may have a shell full of CDs of preaching and teaching, but there's something that lacks. They are not applying wisdom and knowledge. They are not asking God to show me, to teach me. They are quite willing to listen to a preacher and a teacher, but they will not take it away, and they will allow God to further show them what they have heard. A human vessel is limited, whoever you are. Even the Apostle Paul was a human being, but was still limited. And therefore, we give you the means, the wherewithal, by the Spirit, to be able to take what is given to you, and you too can build upon it. That is what that 300 was showing. They showed that they had something different. They showed they had an independence of mind. They showed that they were God's men. And that they were willing to be trained to learn in obedience for what God had for them. Notice God called. God chose. They all had a chance. The 32,000 all had a chance. Let's make no bones about it. But God in his infinite wisdom knew the 300 who were prepared and ready. Because these guys knew that it's not by might nor by power. It can only be by the Holy Spirit. We have seen that we have to throw ourselves utterly, totally, completely upon the Holy Spirit. Who builds. Who saves. Who protects. Because we have had a revelation of who the Holy Spirit is. And this is the key to it. What I believe God showed me. We have seen that the Holy Spirit is Jesus. For I will come back to you. I must go away, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you. I will send the Spirit of truth. I will come back. This is why we can rejoice where two or three are gathered together. There am I in the midst of you. He doesn't just refer to, there is the Holy Spirit in the midst of you. I am with you. In spirit and in truth. And so we have a deeper revelation and understanding of the Holy Spirit's ministry and comfort. Because it is Jesus. And that is why we don't need any proof. We don't need to be able to see him manifest himself in a meeting. He can do so, and boy, I would be most appreciative, but I'm not dependent upon that. That will not change my faith, my belief, my fellowship, my coming together, because he's already with us. He's here now with us. I believe he's speaking to us. As if he would have 2,000 years ago. That is the whole point. So that is what the overcomers see. They see that the Holy Spirit teaches us in these last days. As we're told by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Joel 2. The flesh and blood does not reveal this. It comes by the Spirit. So Gideon, the smiter, interesting man, a judge, called of God. His father had built a shrine, an image, to Baal. And Gideon's calling is by the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord says to him, you've got to cast down that image, of which he did. And a group of them, they went by night and cast this down and everything. And then in the morning he was in trouble. Who's done this? And they found out that Gideon did this, and his father stepped in and saved him because he was going to be put to death. Reminds me of Gamaliel, how that he, through the disciples teaching, preaching in the name of Jesus, all that they wanted to get rid of them. They were becoming concerned, the Pharisees. Gamaliel said, well, we've seen other leaders come up. Look what happened to them. 400 of them were following them. Nothing came of it. Just leave it the same. If this isn't of God, it will destroy. It will perish. But if this is of God, this is the finger of God. And you can do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. He actually showed wisdom, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. His father's doing similar the same. Well, if he's Baal, he can defend himself. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. If he's Baal, okay, he's been knocked down, the image knocked down. He can defend himself. And of course, they saw the difference. Mm-hmm. God's testing. Mm-hmm. What are we seeing happening? We're seeing this man being prepared to come against the greatest force of its time under the old covenant was Baal worship. It was Israel's problem. And there he attacked this. And this is what we are being prepared for the final onslaught of attacking what holds Christendom down in idolatry, in compromise, and so on. It's still a type the same. This is why you've got denominationalism, which is a curse to Christianity.
Yes.
And God will remove that. He will remove that. And so after that, Gideon then calls the armies from the north to come. And again, he asks the Lord for a sign to make sure that he's in this with the fleece. And if the fleece has dew in it in the morning, I will know this is of God. And so in the morning he goes to the fleece and there it's filled, and he gets all the water out of it and fills a bowl. And he says, just one more chance, Lord, just once more. Again, if the fleece is dry in the morning and it's still a dew, of course, then I know it's you. And of course he goes to the fleece, and guess what, in the morning it's dry. He is preparing. He's making sure. Now, I want to say at this point, God doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't. He is making sure that this is of God. He is making sure, because he has 300 men against the Midianites who cannot be counted or numbered. Not only the Midianites, but all their camels and everything. He has to make sure that those men will be protected. He is not only a smiter in nature and heart, but he's also showing also a pastoral side of him as well, to make sure. And so he's convinced that this is of God, and then they prepare. And so they're prepared to go toward the people for a great thing to be done. And we've read it here in verses 4 to 7. And these men are selected by their action. We've seen that they are selected because they are alert. They're prepared for warfare. And we have shown you that this is a type today who are being selected by their faith, by their commitment, by discipleship, by their consecration, by their obedience, and will respond without delay. Who will respond without delay. Now that is the work that God is working in you and I now. When we say that will response without delay, we are speaking about those who are reliable, who when they say something, they will keep it, they will do it. And that is what God is working in all of us, because we are seeing in this last day a generation of people who are anything but reliable, because their self, what they want to do, is far more important than this army that God is preparing for us. So you're going to find that God will expose this in your lives. And he's going to show you, maybe through the week, you are not obedient. You are not reliable. Because reliability also speaks of obedience. People who are reliable are learning that this comes by obeying. And of course we know that if we let God down, whatever it is, then you lose your peace, your joy, blessings, battle depression, all those things that the enemy tries, because he's had a hold, he's got a foothold. He's allowed to take a hold there. And you can yell and bawl and scream as much as you like until you fall on your knees and you ask for repentance. Father, please don't give up on me. Continue to work with me. It's what I want. I want that obedience in my life. I want to be reliable. I want to be that pillar in the body of Christ where you can build through me. That is the heart of a son or daughter of God. Not looking to the pastor, not looking to the next person next to you. Me. Build through me, Lord. Because this is how it stands. That's the heart and spirit of this selection that God's calling in these last days. But we're also willing to submit to the refining furnace, these trials. No, we don't like it in our flesh, of course we don't. But we're willing to submit to it because we know that that is what produces the overcoming army. That is what produces Gideon's, a type of Gideon's army, who can be chosen to go through for the end time to release groaning creation. Read it, Romans 8. You are part of it, restoring back the creation as it should have been. Man rebelled, he took it on himself to become his own God, to do his own thing. And as a result of it, he fell. Has human nature changed? No. Has it changed in the body of Christ? No. It's still there, what Adam did. But Christ has come into our lives to restore that, to bring us back. So every time you obey, you yield over to the Holy Spirit, it is a reminder that you are defying, coming against what the first Adam did. In other words, I am not going to follow his example. He was wrong what he did, but I will follow the second Adam who obeyed and who does it God's way. That's what we're challenged with every day in the choices that we make, moral, ethical decisions, all those things. That is the choice that we take, because we have chosen to walk the way of the kingdom, not the way of the world.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now the key to this, like everything, and you know this well, is preparation. We're in the period and time of preparation. I know that preparation has taken a lot longer than we ever thought. Our pride, our zeal, thought that this could be done in 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's almost 40. Which reminds me of Moses. And thank God he's in no rush. Yes. But he's still on time.
Amen.
We've been in the process of preparation all this time. It's a preparation, as I'm stressing, for warfare in the spirit. It's a warfare in the spirit by submitting to the refining of the furnace. The more you are refined, the better you are for warfare. Now, only God can say a thing like that, can't he? Only God can do that. But the more you are refined, the greater you are for warfare. And you have to go through the refining to learn about spiritual warfare. Now, why is that? Well, there are several things to this we can just think about. We know that refining makes us acceptable to God because he's cleaning us. He's presenting us holy, perfect before his presence. So it takes refining. But there's another aspect to it, like often there is. A lot of our refining is God for a season, allowing the powers of darkness to have a go at you. Sometimes it almost looks as though they're abusing you, ridiculing you, laughing at you, putting you down, trying to harm you, lie about you. All those things, does it all sound familiar? Why is that? Because that is working within you, that fighting spirit, in the spirit. That's what it's doing. Because when you come out of the fires, when you come out of that dark tunnel into the light, something within you sees clearly who was doing all of that. The enemy himself. And something within you rises up. You ain't going to do that anymore. You think you have won, but you haven't. I'm not going down that road anymore. I'm not going to flirt with that sin anymore. I've had enough. And that is what God is doing in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he knows how to do it. He knows how to get you to a place, enough is enough. And one day, God will do that with this world. He will stand up from his throne and he will say, enough is enough. And he will deal with it. So, let's read on a bit with this. Verse 9. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down again to the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. So the word of the Lord has spoken beforehand of what is going to happen. All the while God is confirming to this man. And this is why I keep emphasizing to you, God will confirm and confirm and confirm if he's leading and guiding you in the right footsteps that he has for you. And you do not have to strive at it. For God always, when he confirms, gives us the grace in which to walk that. And here he's confirming to him, I will deliver these men into your hand. The word of the Lord spoken. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah and your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and the camels were without number as the sand of the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and it came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. All the while, God confirming, confirming, confirming all the time. Every step you take, God will confirm it. That's why we don't have to fear. Then his companions answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon. Love it. The sword refers to the word of God. Our faith, our total faith in God's word. The son of Joash, the man of Israel. So his hand, into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." Yes. So there we are. He's now speaking, confirming, encouraging the men. He's had it confirmed so many times. He cannot doubt now at this point. God has removed all fear, all unbelief. And if you can believe that, brothers and sisters, he will do that with this church. Amen. He will do that with each of us.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Then he delivered the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise, watch. And where I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do." There is their training. He said, "Watch what I do." They all have to be trained. They all have to be watchful. And all have to do exactly the same if this is to work. "When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, when you also blow the trumpet on every side of the whole camp and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" So they have to watch. They all have to say, recite the same word, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And so Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outposts of the camp, or the beginning of the middle, which just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and were in their hands. So they all had to do this together. The flame is inside, it's protected by the clay, and by the breaking of the clay, the rushing in of air ignites the flames. That's what it does. So you've got to do that all together for it to be effective and to work. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, and they held the torches in their hands and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So it was all surrounded. All this was theatrically taking place. And of course, they're asleep. They wake up out of a sleep. Just like if you're in a deep sleep, where are you? What are you doing? There's not much light there. They're seeing all this going on, and they start to fight one another, as we read. "And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout, and the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Acacia towards Zerah, and as far as the border of Abel Meholah and Tebath. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher and Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites." And so it goes on. God had wrought a miracle. You would never have worked that one out in a million years. Notice the planning, how God worked. Notice none of them were left in the dark. Clearly shown, God had gone before. The sword was Jesus in front, the pre-incarnate Christ. He prepared everything. And as I have said, do not try and work out how God will win this battle, this final battle against Satan and his armies, but you can be well assured he will. And you can see why you are being trained as you are for such a work in these last days. And the key to this is preparation. We are being prepared for this. And this is why through our trials, our fiery furnace trials, brings us into the maturity of faith. Our faith, which is a gift, must come to a level of maturity that is acceptable in God's eyes. Abraham's faith matured to an acceptable level that was received in God's eyes. It's part of the fruit. We know that faith is part of the fruit of the Spirit, being perfected, matured in us. Go back to the teaching I gave a few weeks ago on this. It will be the same with our belief, our faith, that will be acceptable in God's sight. They hold on to God's promises, the same as we hold on to God's promises, even though we may still at times be failing them. Yet we know what to do if we go to the arm of the flesh. I'm sorry, Lord, this is not what I have been called for. It's not what I want. It's not what I believe. Help me that I come to that level of faith to totally trust you. Do you think God's going to turn his back on you? That's what you say to him? No way. No way. We're types of Jacob who hold on until we're changed in the inner man.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
And so they press through by the Spirit. They know they have been called. They know that they have been chosen.
Yes.
And they won't be denied.
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Father,
thank you, Jesus.
Again, we express our thanks, our gratitude. My prayer and heart's desire is, Lord, all those who have heard this today will know that they have been called for such a task, for such a ministry. Lord, we are in preparation, but it doesn't mean that we rest on our laurels. It means that we apply that wisdom, that knowledge, and that every meeting, every message that we hear is to throw us more upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to prepare us, to show us what we are being trained for. And all of us who agree and say amen, this is my life this man is speaking about, that is a clear sign that you have been called for such a time. Father, this is huge. This is vast. Because Romans 8 reveals to us that groaning creation will be released. Father, how can we encompass something so vast, so great, just a handful of us meeting like we do? But that is why we can also say that it's not by might nor by power, it is by the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, forgive us when we doubt you. Forgive us, Lord, when the kingdom of God is only as big as our mind and our own life. Deliver us from that, Father. Help us to embrace what we've heard today. Let it become more and more of our experience as we press in. Because that is what we're doing. It's that pressing through, pressing through. Here again we get the analogy of the man-child, the woman who is giving birth. Just as a woman's in labour, she's pressing, pushing through for that child to be born. So we know this, Father, spiritually in our lives. May none of us give up. May none of us go back. May none of us compromise. Help us, Father, to be like those Jacobs wrestling. Our eyes fixed upon Jesus, that we will not be denied. For you are changing our lives. You are changing these hearts of stone to flesh. You are putting a right spirit within us. You are giving us a type of Gideon spirit to smite the enemy in these last days. You are causing us to rise up and to use the sword and the whole armor of God and to use the gift of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, warring against these powers and principalities, these demonic forces. Father, the enemy is far more fearful of us. And yet there are times when we're more afraid of him. Lord, our position is that he serves us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. Thank you for these teachings. Thank you that you have never given up on this, that you have called us and you remind us and keep us with it, Father. And we are truly thankful. And so I pray you'll ever be with us, bless, preserve and keep us all. Be with us when we go out and when we come in. Until our next meeting, we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He gives his angels charge over me. Yahweh Yahweh cares for me. For me, for me. Yahweh Yahweh cares for me. Yahweh Yahweh, my provider, is basic sufficient for me. For me, for me. Yahweh Yahweh, my provider, is basic sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs. I am left off with me. And the mountains and the hills shall be born before you. There be shouts of joy. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And you will go out with joy. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And you go out with joy.
Let him in constancy follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim.
So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus.